This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. We have our final interview from Siege with Michael McMaine, CEO of Xavient, talking about their upcoming first-person magic game, Lichdom. But we also have Forza Horizon and Smart Glass. Tonight is October 28th, 2012, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Stay dry out there, north of me. I feel everybody's pain. I've been there myself. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you are joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, welcome. Head on over to our chat room. Go over to live.vognetwork.com. You will be able to chat with other people that are listening to the show, and I will be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And also, you will be able to check in if you are registered at vognetwork.com. You can check into the live show just like Fifth Dream and Flacco Jones did. They were the first two tonight. If you're listening on the podcast feed somewhere in this episode, there will be a tone and a passphrase that you can put in. And you can get the same points and loot. We are hoping to put in some points and more loot related to check-ins now that it's been around for a while and we've kind of seen how people are using check-ins. We hope to have more of some more rewards for that. So it's pretty cool to check in, or it will be. It should be. Anyway, a little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is going to be Bobby Blackwolf Show. That is all one word. Toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can contact me on my website, BobbyBlackwolf.com. So as I kind of said a little bit in the open, obviously right now as we're taping, Hurricane Sandy is about to bear down on the northeast. We're getting a little bit of wind here where I am, but I'm kind of out of the path of the storm. But people are saying it may snow here because of it. I don't believe that. This is Georgia. We don't get snow. We get ice. So stay safe if you are listening up in that area. I hope you have something on that has the emergency weather while you're still listening to this show. Or, this is on podcast, so you can listen to it later. But I love it that you're here live if you're able to be here safely. And also, quick note, there is going to be no live show for next week for this show. On November 4th, I have a prior commitment that I will not be able to be home to do the show. However, that does not mean you're not getting a show. In fact, you may actually be getting more of a show than you normally get. And I just realized that probably sounded really, really bad. So you're probably going to get more content than normal. I have actually recorded this past week, so they're all in the can, 3 different developer interviews across the spectrum of more not indie games, but independent games. Well, one of them's an indie game. But smaller known titles that you may not have heard of, all PC titles. And I will be airing all 3 of those next week. And they will premiere here on the VOG Network feed. Rob Roberts is listening in chat. This is the first he's heard of this. They'll be premiering on the feed while I'm not here to be live. So if you're here live, you get to hear them first. Then the podcast feed will get them just as normal. But we have 3 interviews. It'll be an hour's worth of content. Just back to back to back, nothing else. So that'll be fun. They could not do live interviews. That's why we did them pre-recorded. And since I knew I wasn't going to be here next weekend, that's when I'm going to throw them all in. So you're going to get a whole lot of stuff next week. And we do have an interview that I'm going to be airing tonight. It's a very short interview. It's the last interview from Siege. That will be happening in about 15, 20 minutes or so. About an upcoming game that's in alpha right now. It's very early in the development process, and we'll talk more about that then. But what I'm going to talk about first really is, you know, a lot of times people will call in and ask, you know, so what are you playing right now? And what sucks is that working on the site and doing a lot of the stuff that I do, I don't get a chance to play that many games, and also games that I haven't really – there are games out that don't really appeal to me, so I don't play them all that often. That changed this week. And if you're listening live a little bit later on tonight during OLR, my actual review of this title, text review, will be on the site. If you're listening on the podcast feed, the review's already up. The review will go up before the podcast does for this week. But it's a racing title. It's called Forza Horizon. And I've been playing this. It came out Tuesday, and I've been playing it pretty much a lot since then. And this is a racing game, and I call it a simulation arcade racer, because it's both a simulation racer and an arcade racer all at the same time, and it actually works. The game, it's by a bunch of people that I was really sad for like 2 years ago. Because if you remember, you know, we talk a lot about gaming layoffs and stuff and studio closures, and two studios that went down were Black Rock Studio, which made Pure and Split Second for Disney, and Bizarre Creations, which was bought by Activision, but they were a part of Microsoft and did Project Gotham Racing, and Blur was fantastic as a racing game. I loved Blur, which was basically a more realistic Mario Kart. Unfortunately, those, even though those were good games, Split Second and Blur, I preferred Blur over Split Second, those studios were shut down by their respective publishers. And they're UK studios. So a new studio opened up, Playground Games, and they hired a lot of those people from Bizarre and from Black Rock Studios, but they also hired people from Codemasters and some people that worked on some of the earlier Need for Speed and Test Drive games, and you know, Codemasters did like Dirt and stuff like that. So they got all these people. They had Criterion Games as well. They worked on the Burnout. Now they're doing Need for Speed, and they've kind of shelved the Burnout series. They got people from Criterion. So it's like this super group of all of these racing game developers of the more arcade-y type, although they've done some simulation stuff as well. And they worked with Turn 10, which makes Forza Motorsport, which is the simulation racer for the Xbox 360. It's Microsoft's answer to Gran Turismo on the PlayStation. And they're like, make a game, and we'll help you with some of the aspects, but you guys make the racing game you want to make. And we got Forza Horizon out of it. Forza Horizon, it has a lot of the... Well, let me back up a little bit and talk a little bit about the Forza series. If you play Forza Motorsport or read anything about the Forza Motorsport series, which is the simulation version, Forza 4 came out last year, I believe, or the year before, I can't remember, and they're working on Forza 5. They love cars, and that is a love letter to cars and a love letter to automobiles and automobile fanatics and gearheads, if you will, where, you know, it's all about every little nuance of the car. You have to know everything about the car, tuning the setups and stuff, seeing how much drag you can get in the wind tunnel and stuff like that. And it's very much about the cars. Forza Motorsport is about the cars and the culture around the cars, but just the love of the automobile. And they put a lot of detail into those cars, all the way from, you know, they take the sounds of the engine. They actually have a recording studio where they record the car engines and everything, but also like to the dashboards on the inside. And it's extremely realistic. It's very authentic. It's true to form. Forza Horizon, which is not Forza Motorsport 5, and it doesn't want to be Forza Motorsport 5, it is about the love of the race and not the love of the car. And that's the most important distinction between these two. And the main reason the main way they distinct themselves from the Forza Motorsport series is that you can't tune your car. That's the one thing they left out of the Forza Motorsport game in Forza Horizon. There are lots of cars in there, and they are just as authentic as Forza Motorsport. It has the Turn 10 love of, you know, the dashboard, the in-car view, and the sounds and everything. That's all there. There's not as many cars because it takes place at a music festival, so it's more geared towards cars you'd actually want to race at a big festival rather than, you know, just any car on the market. You know, you're not going to find a Toyota Camry in Forza Horizon. But it's about the love of the race. So you spend more time racing and less time playing with your car. You can still upgrade your car, and there's lots of upgrade options, and it offers a nice auto upgrade, so you don't have to worry about that if you don't want to. But it's definitely more geared toward people wanting to race rather than sit in menus and tweak variables and try to shave seconds off of their hot lap time, which turns some people off, but it actually made me like the game more. Because now I don't feel like I have to know tuning setups, or, you know, even having to go to the in-game marketplace to download tuning setups. I don't have to worry about that. I can just race. And I think that's very powerful. So like I said, the game, it takes place at a music festival, and there is actually a story, and here's the story. A bunch of 20-something douchebags got together to race cars. And you're one of those 20-something douchebags, except the only reason you're less of a douchebag than everybody else is because you don't say a word. You are the Gordon Freeman of race car drivers, because you are completely silent, and they even make jokes all the way throughout the quote-unquote story, which is very loosely considered a story, about how you don't say anything because you're too busy racing. And they talk to all these other racers, and they build up these other characters, which, you know, kind of makes sense if it seemed more like it mattered, building up these characters, because, like, each you're basically racing to get higher wristbands. And at each wristband level, there's one rival, and there's one character that, you know, will taunt you and all that stuff. And they'll even say on the load screens that they have specific traits that you can exploit and stuff. And I can kind of see those traits, but not really. I mean, you know, there's one that, you know, they say, oh, she spends all that time on the track making sure her corners are perfect. And yeah, you always do see her on the line, on the racing line, and trying to make perfect corners. So the strategy is to get her off of her line, and that screws her up. Others, they'll say they're more aggressive and stuff like that. And that's, you can kind of see that too, but it doesn't really, I mean, I guess all the racers in the game kind of have those kind of characteristics. And so we're just used to it, especially if you've raced in Forza before. There are scripted events as well, scripted races, which would make Call of Duty developers blush. I'm talking to, like, they actually, and this is in the demo, there's actually a demo on the Xbox 360 that you can get right now, where it's like you're in a car and you're racing against a plane. And surprisingly, every single time you do it, you either lose by half a second or win by half a second. There's a reason for that. Because the plane is off screen for most of the time, and the plane doesn't come on screen until you get to a certain point. So, I mean, that's like an extreme use of kind of rubber banding. There is rubber band AI in this. But, you know, that's more, it's more scripted sequence. And there's a couple of those in there that just make no sense. The one that doesn't make sense, there's a showcase event, that's what they're called, these car versus whatever, against a hot air balloon. And you start off, and the hot air balloon that you're racing is already way off in the distance, yet you still beat it by only like half a second. Like you actually watch it trying to get through the same checkpoint at the same time as you are, and you wind up just, and every single time, I've raced it several times, you always, no matter what your time is, it's always like a half second. It's always very close at the end. So it's a neat experience, but it's not anything, any kind of skill type of thing. Rob Roberts says, the only reason I could never really play Forza before is that I couldn't control the damn cars. I need my racer to control like Burnout or Blur or Mario Kart. And see, that's what one of the things that they did in this is, you know, in Forza, they actually have all these assists that kind of help with the control. But when you get to the higher end cars, they always do get very difficult to control. But at the lower levels, they're pretty easy to control. And one of the things that Forza Horizon does differently than Forza Motorsport is that if you go off road, it doesn't really matter. Like, you can't really even tell that you went off road unless you hit a wall. And even then, it's not that bad. This controls most like Project Gotham Racing is probably the closest thing that this controls to, because it's got a lot of the Project Gotham Racing developers on it. I mean, it's got the Blur developers, pretty much was the last game they made. So this is definitely in that sense where you have that kind of arcadey control with those assists more heightened. This is more geared towards people who aren't simulation junkies. But it still has some of the simulation junkies aspects. Not all of them, but it has some of them. And it still gives them the opportunity to enjoy. It's this game is really tailored for a lot of people. So My full review is going to be on VogNetwork.com, but I will say that I did like it. I purchased it for $60. I think it was well worth the purchase. There is no online pass for it, so you can play online with just that $60. You don't have to pay an extra $10 if you got it used or anything like that. And there are unlocks that you can buy. Like, there's a treasure map that'll show you things on that's unlockables and stuff, but you really don't need them. You'll find them as you go through the game, so you don't really need those. And the online mode is actually, you know, I actually had a lot of fun with the online. I was actually playing against random. So, like, Breakman's in chat saying, is Bobby actually talking about an actual game? He actually played something. Yes, and I played it online against people I didn't know. And here's what I did. I was actually Burr. I don't know if Burr's in chat right now listening. He and I, we're a part of the VOG car club. So if you get Forza Horizon, you want to join a car club, VOG, V-O-G, all capital letters. That's our little clan tag. You can request to be a part of it, and then we'll show up on your leaderboards and stuff like that. We got into our own little party, and then went, and they have a playlist mode, just like a lot of the, you know, a lot of the online games now have is, you know, a playlist. And we would sit in party chat, making fun of all the other racers. And yeah, I mean, when you're racing online against randoms, it really is try to survive the first turn and then you're good. But we had a lot of fun. We actually played for like 5 or 6 hours online, just Burr and I just doing online races against randoms, and it was great. I did not see any lag in it, and it was a lot of fun. I can see it being a really good community night, because even though I was losing a lot, I did actually win a couple races. No, I won one race. I'm not going to say a couple. I won one race. I podiumed several times. But I can see that being a good community night for VOG, so that's a hint to everybody out there that this is a good game. Even if you just like rent it from Gamefly, you can join up with the VOG community and we'll do some racing nights. Because I mean, even if you're getting like 7th or 8th place, it's still fun because it's not all that serious. I had a lot of fun with that. There are actually playground games as well. They've got cat and mouse in there, and they've got tag and reverse tag, king and infected. But the one part an online mode that they kind of failed at, which is surprising considering they have some people from Criterion that did this really well, is they've got a free roam mode where you're just driving around the open world map of the Horizon Festival in Colorado. And you can do challenges in there. It really is reminiscent of Burnout Paradise. That's the first thing that went to my mind when I read about it. And we go in there, and, well, first on, there is no drop-in, drop-out. If you want somebody else to join your game, you have to back all the way out of the mode into the lobby and then go back in. So that's a missed opportunity right there. And then they've got these challenges, co-op challenges, like, you know, okay, so two people have to be in a Ford. I mean, that's, they've got these for everybody, for all the different makes. But like for Ford, and it's like, start at the Horizon Outpost in this area and go to this other area. Well, the problem is they don't use the in-game GPS to tell you where these are. And we were able to find the first place, the place we had to start, but we didn't know where the end was. It was like the industrial park or whatever they called it. And we're like, where is that? And you look on the map, and there's nothing that says industrial park. We looked online, and they're like, oh, it's north of the valley. And we're like, well, let's just drive up there and see if we can get up there. And we just like got on a road, and it's like, oh, you completed the challenge. I'm like, that's great. But we had to spend all that time trying to figure out where to go because it wasn't actually using the in-game GPS tools. That was kind of a downer. We thought we'd have fun in free roam mode. We stopped free roam mode after like 5 minutes. We were like done. Breakman says zombie cars. Pretty much. There's what he's probably referencing is infected. King is your usual game of tag. One person's it, and then if you tag them, you become it, and you're trying to stay it as much as possible. Infected is one car is infected, nobody else is infected, and that car has to ram into somebody else, then they become infected. And so the object is to not be infected throughout the 3 minutes or 6 minutes or however long it is. And it's like this, you know, area, like closed-in arena type thing. You're not really racing. But we did a lot of the racing and stuff, and, you know, there's the circuit races and the point-to-point races, and then the street races. In single-player, they're annoying even more than online. In single-player, because the street races are not sanctioned by the Horizon Festival, the music festival you're racing at, so they still have traffic. So you're not only racing the other 7 people, you're racing the traffic. But where it gets you in that mode as well as in the online mode is that since it's not sanctioned, they don't block off the streets you're not supposed to go down. So you have to actually pay attention to your mini-map to see, oh, I've got to make a left turn up here. Because you can go straight, and suddenly you're off the track, and it does not put you back on the track. You have to drive all the way back to the track to get back on it. Which meant that those were the races I raced, I did the best in, because everybody else would careen off on some other direction and not realize it. So, but we had a lot of fun. So if you pick up Forza Horizon, VOG is our car club. I would love to do some VOG nights, even if we just do random playlists, and just we have like four or five people that are VOG, and then three other randoms come in, and we just sit there and talk in party chat instead of talking to them. It'd be a lot of fun. This is my favorite racing game of the year. I mean, I haven't played Need for Speed, which is actually by Criterion. You know, who knows? It has some stiff competition, but I'm really liking what I'm playing. So yeah, so other than that, my full review will be on the site. It will get a good grade. That's the spoiler on that. And I talk more about how it's open world. I talk about, you know, yeah, it's a music festival. I talk about, you know, what type of music's in the game and stuff like that. So it's a lot. It shares a lot of similarities with Turn 10's Forza Motorsport, but it's also different enough that I think it's more accessible to people who maybe aren't good at racers, and it'll make you feel like you're good at racers, because I played it on easy, and it still was a little bit of a challenge, but it was still rewarding. And one other thing I wanted to talk about, kind of related to that, is this, since this was the week that Windows 8 came out, also in terms of gaming, Xbox Smart Glass was released. It was released for the Surface tablets that came out this week, as well as Windows 8, which came out this week. And there was a little bit of confusion about, like, you know, the other devices, because the big thing about Xbox Smart Glass is that it was supposed to be a companion app using the device you already owned. And originally, when they said, okay, yeah, it's coming out, you know, with Windows 8 this week, a lot of sites, Joystick being one of the main ones I remember seeing, is saying, yeah, the iPhone and Android apps will be coming out in 2013. Which was a huge, to me, it would have been a huge mistake if that was actually true. Well, it turns out Friday, the Android app for the phones, not tablets, although you could get it installed on a tablet if you knew how to sideload things. But they released the app on Android phones on Friday. And since I do have a Galaxy S3, it worked with that. That's like, this is what the one phone I know everybody said it works great with. And I played around with it. Because I kind of like the idea of it, and it's, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's the Wii U killer. No, it's more like a second screen that some movies do. Well, Disney movies do the second screen a lot, where you can download an app, and then that syncs with your Blu-ray player and goes along with it. But right now, unfortunately, it really is just a glorified controller, because that's all that anything can use on it. The Forza Horizon actually has a smart glass feature where, and it works on Windows 8 machines right now, but not Windows 8 phones, where it actually has the map on the second screen, which would be great, you know, so you don't have to constantly hit the start button and go look at your map. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen on the Android phone, so I couldn't really test the smart glass feature of that. And apparently, like, if you're watching videos and stuff, it will actually update things in real time on your phone as well. I couldn't get that to work, and I even tried things like Game of Thrones, which is the demo that they showed was, hey, when you watch Game of Thrones, this is what happens with Smart Glass. So I tried to watch Game of Thrones, and it said Game of Thrones has no information in the video service. So other than it being a glorified controller, I haven't been able to do that much with Smart Glass, and it's not one of those things I'd use if all it is a glorified controller. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the apps. I'm looking forward to the iOS app so I could use it on my iPad, because maybe that opens up more possibilities, it being on a tablet rather than on a phone. But it's out for Android now. You have to have Android 4.0 or above. It's not going to work on Gingerbread or anything like that. And it doesn't work on the tablets unless you sideload it. It only works on the phones. So if you have like a Nexus 7, you're going to have to do some APK downloading and sideloading it on. Then it works beautifully, and it even works in tablet mode, from what I understand. But it's not officially supported yet. We're not doing a music break. We're actually going to do an interview. It's actually not a long interview. That's why I'm talking a lot. So this is a game that's going to be coming out, who knows when. It is in very, very early alpha. This was at Siege here in Atlanta, and this is actually a Georgia-based company. They are working on a first-person magic game called Lichdom. I had the opportunity to play the alpha build of it for 30 minutes, and then I was able to sit down with their CEO to ask him about the game instead of sitting in a Q&A session with the developers telling them what I didn't like about it, which there really wasn't anything I didn't like about it. So we're going to go ahead and play this interview, the last one from Siege in Atlanta with Exaviant LLC about Lichdom.
Yeah, you remember all that stuff I was talking about at Siege where you wouldn't get to see new games? It's more about making games. Well, I found the exception, and I'm talking to the CEO of the people that brought that exception to Siege. Michael McMain is the CEO of Exaviant, and they are working on a game in CryEngine 3 called Lichdom. So, Michael, thank you for spending some time with me. Tell us a little bit about this game.
So Lichdom is a first-person RPG that is set in a dark fantasy type of setting, and our goal is to demonstrate what it's like to be a powerful mage, right? In a lot of RPGs, when you have magic combat, a lot of times that magic combat is sort of toned down so it can match, you know, a fighter or a rogue, that sort of thing. Our goal is to deliver the pure epic mage experience.
So in the little alpha that I played, which is pre-alpha, very early concept work, I really liked what I saw, the concept. And the thing that got me is I'm sitting here doing all this magic stuff. There's no mana bar, so I can throw out as many spells as I want. And how many combinations are there of spells?
So right now, what we have in the works, our goal is not necessarily to inundate the player with 50, 60, 70 spells, which have a tremendous amount of redundancy. Our spell count will actually be relatively low. It could be somewhere in the 8, 9, 10 range category. But what we are going to focus on is things like synergies, like what happens when you hit somebody with frost and then expose them to other things, right? So it's all about utilizing your spells in a synergistic fashion. And your repertoire of spells, you know, we might have, say, let's say, for example, 9 or 10 spells in the game. You'll only have 3 or 4 at your fingertips at any one time, but the unique dynamics of how those spells work together are going to give you effects that are very varied and very tailored to the kind of play that you want to play.
Yeah, because in the build that I was playing, there were the fire, ice, and electricity. So what would be some of the combinations using some of the basic builds that people would do for awesome results?
Yeah, so for example, in this particular build, we actually have a fourth one that you had to discover in the game called Corruption, right, which is like a damage over time. And the idea is that, like, let's say for lightning as an example, the purpose of lightning in our game, even though it has a damage component, it's not really made for killing people. It's for interrupting things or stopping things. So in our example that you had, when you were fighting a witch, which can put up a shield, lightning can bring that shield down, and then you switch to fire and crush the witch, right? And then we have ideas for other synergies. Like, for example, on our frost spell, when you hit the person with frost, you're building an effect that can expose them to more damage from other spells. Some spells will be about controlling, and then when you apply damage, so for example, to give you an idea, let's say you have a raise dead spell as an example, that by using a combination of raise dead and fire, it's those two spells that would create a flaming zombie that runs out and explodes in a group of people, right? But it's not like there's a flaming zombie spell. You make that spell out of how you build those two spells together.
And one of the things I know is because I am not people who listen to my show know that I don't play that many first-person shooters, and this obviously looks on the surface like a first-person shooter, but you guys helped me out with my aiming. So you want to talk a little bit about what you're doing with that, you know, with like the aiming mechanic to maybe make it easier for those of us that are mouse-challenged like me.
Right. So this is something, again, that we're kind of proud of, is that one of the things when we set out to do this is I told the team, I said, you know, we're using an engine that is made for first-person shooters, and we're a first-person game, but I don't want the game to feel like you have a gun in your hand, right? It can't feel like that. So it can't be all aiming-based, because if magic, you know, I looked at myself, I'm a very big fan of magic. I almost always play magic users. So if magic worked the way I envisioned, what that means is when I want to hit something, I can hit it. It's not that I have to aim or my spells are constantly going over their head or to their left or to their right. So what we've done is we're trying to build a system that really is about you displaying your intent. I intend to hit this target. So your aiming is about what target you want to hit and not about your aiming being precise enough to hit them. And so that's what we've got, is what we're calling like an aim assist, where the cursor or the highlight of who you're going to hit is what you're controlling, and you're using your viewport for that. But it's not like a crosshair that you have to put on the guy's head, which would feel like a gun.
Now, for people that want that, is there going to be an option to get rid of the aim assist and use the crosshair system?
Yeah, so we've toyed with that as well, because there's an aspect of possibly broadening the audience if you can appeal to that FPS, that hardcore FPS person that maybe wants to try a fantasy genre. And so we do have plans to test some of that stuff, but right now we're focused on perfecting the auto-targeting part, because that other part is really built into the engine.
So going around putting things on fire was fun. Why am I going to be doing that? Can you talk to that, the story behind the game?
Yeah, so in our game, the basic idea, and I'm not going to give too much of this away here, but the idea is that you're playing a person that has been given a power. So if we look at the three tenets that we have in this, our three tenets for making this game are: you have been given the greatest power the world has ever seen. And then the second tenet is the world is a dangerous place and it wants to destroy you. And then our third tenet is you're the world's redeemer. So that's the basic idea, is that you've got this power, the world has some things, some problems going on, and you are the one that's going to solve it.
And as I said before, this is on CryEngine. Why did you choose CryEngine over something like Unreal or even Unity or something like that?
So obviously there's a lot of good engines out there, but what really appealed to me about CryEngine, we made this decision about 3 years ago when I saw it at the GDC in Europe, is just how vivid we could make that world. And also, it's a relatively new engine in the as far as the third-party market goes. And so it's letting us make a game that we feel really looks distinctly different from most of the games that are out there.
So tell us about, like, how are you going to be distributing the game? When are we going to see it? How much... Any other information you can tell us about when other people are going to be able to see more about this game?
So the initial focus is a PC platform. We're developing this for the PC. Our intent is to distribute it digitally through the digital outlets. And then we definitely have plans to be on console as well.
And around what time, where are you in the development, and when can we see, is there going to be a beta, or, when are consumers going to get to see more about this?
So throughout the year, we're going to be doing a lot of play tests within our facility, mostly focused in Georgia, where people can easily get to us. And we're also going to be at the various shows, revealing different pieces, different components of the game as we go throughout the year. We're in our production cycle right now. We're about 6 months into our production cycle. We've got at least another year of production left, and then we have the luxury of not necessarily declaring a release date, but our plan is that we're going to be looking at our release date basically a year from now and deciding what it's going to be.
So websites, where can people learn more about the game today, or your website, game's website?
So Xaviant.com is the company website. It's Xaviant.com, and then Lichdom.com is the game website.
So it's coming out sometime. And thank you very much for spending some time with me, Michael.
Thank you very much.
And we're back live. Thank you again to Michael McMain, the CEO of Xaviant. You can find them at Xaviant.com, Xaviant, just like what he said. That's where all will be made clear. I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience with Lichdom, because I did play a very early alpha build, and I really did like what I saw. And, me being a programmer, I do understand alpha build and what that means, and that there were some things that I saw that I gave feedback for that I'm not going to give here, because I'm positive it will be much better even when they get into beta. And probably by this point, I mean, it's been about a month since that interview, any complaints I had have probably already been fixed by now. But Dungeon Buster in chat was saying, this sounds like this is Skyrim's dual magic done right. Yes. That's exactly what this is. It's basically what you thought you would get in Skyrim in terms of the dual magic stuff, and it actually does it in the way you expect, the way you thought Skyrim would do. It's very fast-paced. It's very action-oriented. You can swap between different spells very quickly. And basically, Rob Roberts in chat, he's like, I hope things, I like setting things on fire. There's a lot of things that I set on fire, too. I basically spam the fire spells. But they've got, AoE spells that have cones that go on the ground, and that's how you... can stop people or hit that area, or you can put up a wall in front of you, or you can fire like a magic missile that attacks the darkness. Thanks, Dark Tetsuya, for bringing that up. But in the alpha build, you're basically just going through different battles and going through some of the environment, which looks already really beautiful, the environment. It was a cave environment. But they had, like, stained glass windows in there and some buildings and waterfalls and stuff. And it was very beautiful even at this early stage. So I think that's a testament to the CryEngine that they've been working with, but also just, you know, where they are this early on in the development cycle. So it's going to be a really interesting thing to look to watch the progress for, on. If you go to their website and go into the Lichdom thing, you can area of the website, they're actually doing, like, developer diaries, and they actually show concept art. They have target renders and stuff, and they actually have on that site, they have the response, basically the email that lists what all the Q&A testers said based on their experiences at Siege. So you can actually kind of see that they're being very open with the way that they want to develop this game and what they're doing with the game, even though it's quite some time away. So I'm excited for it. And, you know, I don't usually play first-person shooters, but this actually kind of takes the hard element that Cita Bria doesn't like the fact they took away the element that it's, you know, catering to the masses. No, it's catering to Bobby Blackwolf, sir. And I'm excited to see where it goes. I will probably be in touch with them again because they are local. So I will keep you guys abreast on any developments of Lichdom in the years to come, however long it takes. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep, even if you cancel before the trial is over. All you got to do is you go to audibletrial.com/BobbyBlackwolf and claim your free audiobook there. The phone lines are now open for you to call in. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in and talk about anything going on in the gaming industry. Obviously, I didn't talk about all that much in the gaming industry this week. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase TRIP. And also, I do want to thank the there were a bunch of people in chat from Xavient, if you didn't notice. I noticed. So thank you to them for checking out the show tonight. Also, True was asking if anybody's seen any Wii U kiosks out there, Wii U demo areas, because the Wii U comes out in a couple weeks. They are in some GameStops and Best Buys. They have been for a while, and it's the Rayman game is the one I believe you can play. Rob on OLR actually talked about his experience walking into an Evil G and playing it after buying something there. We do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Blackwolf, Shadow Next Gen.
Shadow Next Gen, what's up, man?
Hey, just to briefly talk about what you were mentioning, I did have a Wii U kiosk in my local GameStop. Mm-hmm. Went in there, played a little bit of Rayman Legends, good stuff, even though it's delayed until 2013.
Yeah. So they're showing off a game that's going to be delayed, that's not coming out in the launch window.
Well, I think it'll probably be a launch window, but it won't be launch day like it was, I think, originally they were hoping.
Well, if it's not, I thought, does launch window go until March of 2013?
Like, yeah, Reggie has defined launch window as through March.
Okay. Don't mess with Reggie then.
Yes.
Reggie knows exactly. All.
What did you think about the announcement with Scribblenauts, you know, about how they're going to have Mario and Zelda franchises in it?
Actually, hadn't really seen that. So that's gonna. So like, how are they gonna be integrating it? Is it like, oh, I can type Mario and Mario shows up?
Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to do much with the story, but I saw the graphic and they had, you know, Mario, Yoshi, you know, Princess, whatever on one side, and then they had Link and I think probably Epona and, you know, a few of the Zelda things on there. So yeah, you're gonna be able to use them within the game.
That's cool. I'm surprised they didn't do that earlier because Scribblenauts was a 3DS or was a DS exclusive, so it wasn't like they were worried about, you know, offending other publishers or anything. But they've actually done a good job of including other, like, you know, sites like Mega 64 actually comes up with their logo, NeoGAF comes up with their logo, Forum Troll comes up with the NeoGAF logo. So they've kind of done stuff like that before. But I mean, that's kind of cool. I mean, I don't know, like, if Mario's going to be able to defeat anybody or. Is it going to be kind of like doing a ninja and a pirate and seeing who wins?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. You know, I definitely Scribblenauts is going to be, I believe that's a day one title, and it's going to be one of the titles I pick up on day one along with Mario. Mm-hmm.
So you've also been playing Forza Horizon.
Indeed. I just beat one of your times.
Oh, That's the crap thing. Because, like, this is the thing about Forza Horizon is because I'm not fast. When every time I log in, I have, like, 15 messages of shame in the inbox. It's like, this person has beaten your rival time. This person has beaten your speed zone time. This person is... And I'm like, no. It's like 15 messages just full of, you suck, every time I boot up the game. It's very demoralizing. You really should stop doing that.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I have some of those too. I have, you know, a few where Gripper is beating me and Bird's beating me on a couple of them, and Blatant Ninja. So you're definitely not the only one who signs in and sees, hey, your best effort just got beaten.
Yeah. So everybody should join the VOG Car Club, and that way people can beat your times instead of mine.
Indeed. I mean, they'll beat your times on the way to mine.
Oh, whatever. I dislike you. I actually went back, and I'm like, I'm going to try it, because there's an achievement. You have to beat 10 rivals. And so I'm like, I'm trying to beat, and I can't even beat my own time. You know, I've got, like, a different car, a better car now, and it's, like, the early challenges.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's sad. I'm just sad.
We should go back, you know, once you get some of the faster cars, because the map works really well in Forza Horizon. You know, and it shows you all the speed challenge areas and everything.
Yeah, I just need to get in my R1 car and pray I can get a straightaway to get some of those speed zones. Because they're tricky with some of those speed zones. They put them, like, right after turns and everything.
Yeah, yeah, they've definitely snuck up on me.
Yeah. And the speed zones, like, you're trying to, like, dodge traffic as well and stuff. Basically, if you're wondering what we're talking about, there are speed traps and speed zones. Speed traps basically just take a snapshot, see how fast you're going when you go by it. Speed zones take your average time from point A to point B. And they're far, far away from each other, pretty much. So you're doing, like, turns and avoiding traffic and all that stuff. And Shadow Next Gen keeps beating me on those.
Well, I heard a great quote from the development team. They were talking about, you know, you're not just racing other people, but you're kind of racing the world just because, like I said, there's traffic.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's, like, sharp turns and everything. And it will go skidding off really easily.
Yeah, and Breakman asked, and I thought I mentioned this, does it have all the car editing features of the other games? You can't tune. I don't miss the not being able to tune. I know a lot of people do miss that, and that's, like, the main reason they hate Forza Horizon is because you can't tune your car. You can just upgrade it with parts. Do you miss the tuning aspect?
Me? No, not really. I'm a bit more like yourself. Like, I appreciate what they do in, like, Forza 4, and I might toy around with it, but I'm nowhere near as hardcore as some of the other people in the community about that. Yep. So I'm definitely enjoying Forza Horizon. So that's one of the two main games I've been playing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I know your review already went up.
Yes.
Mine's going to be coming up in probably about an hour or so on the site. And you liked it in your review, correct?
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with Forza Horizon. Like you said at the beginning, I think they walked the line really well of both sim and arcade.
Right. It's both a simulation and an arcade racer at the exact same time. And if you're scared of the games like Gran Turismo and Forza Motorsport, but you liked Project Gotham and games like that, you really should at least try the demo, or maybe, you know, even rent it, because the demo is actually a pretty long demo. It's about an hour-long demo. And it has, you know, the regular races. It's got one of the scripted races, the Call of Duty-style scripted races in there. So you can get a real good feel of it. And it's a lot more forgiving than the regular Forza Motorsport series.
I also, personally speaking, really like how they did the multiplayer achievements. Because, you know, the multiplayer achievements is, you know, complete 10 races, for example.
Right.
You don't have to win 10 races, so it's not like something that's, you know, unattainable for a lot of people on Xbox Live. You just have, as long as you finish the race, as long as you don't get a do not finish, then you're good. And, you know, another one is reach level 25, which everyone will get as long as you put in the time.
Yeah, I think I'm at, like, level 23.
Yeah.
And Burr and I just raced for, like, 5 hours one night, and I've got all the way up there.
Yeah, so it's not some of these stupider achievements where, you know, be number one on the leaderboard or any of that nonsense.
Right. So, I mean, it's an easier achievement list than most games. It's not, you know, which some people don't like. Some people want achievements to be hard, and that, you know, they're called achievements, and you've got to feel like you achieve something. But this one, it has more of the participation trophies because it's more geared to bring more people into this type of racing.
Yeah. Well, I tend to like that, too. I mean, my I guess you could say proudest achievement would probably be, you know, with like Call of Duty 4, you know, beating that on veteran and that mile high achievement, beating that on veteran, because that's almost impossible to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can go see both sides of it. Some games like Forza, it's more of a casual thing for me.
Yeah.
The Horizon, that is. So
they do still have achievements about beating things on hard mode. And so I don't think I'll ever get that one.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But those are probably the last ones that I work on once I get the other ones going.
Yeah, and True in chat says there needs to be a new Burnout. Sorry, they're making Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Yeah, Most Wanted is basically going to be your Burnout. I really had a lot of fun with it when I got to play it at E3, and you got to do some of that multiplayer. Yeah. It was really, really nice how you could just kind of all meet up in a location, then, you know, the race starts. And, yeah, True should definitely look at Most Wanted.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Bobby.
And for reference, because I said he did reviews, and I forgot to say where he does it, totallygn.com is where he writes reviews, Shadow Next Gen. He did a Forza Horizon review. He's doing a lot of other review games right now as well. He's also a source I trust on reviews when I'm not trusting my own self. So that's it for the calls tonight. Thank you, everybody. We actually did Breakman tried to call in again, but I know he was only trying to call in to save me, so I didn't take his call. Maybe next time. Maybe in 2 weeks. But coming up next, here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, Orange Lounge Radio, three people out in the West Coast, so they don't have to worry about any kind of storms. They talk about video games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them and see what they're going to be talking about tonight, if Skype ever decides that they actually want to let it work. It's just kind of sitting here saying, calling.
You've reached the Orange Lounge Radio message line. We are currently accepting messages for our 10-year anniversary special.
No, you're not.
Taking place on Sunday, the 24th at 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern at VogNetwork.com.
No, it's not.
If you'd like to leave a short message for us to play, please do so after the beep. We would love to hear things such as your favorite memory or a reason you continue to listen to Orange Lounge Radio. Due to time constraints, your message may be edited. Thank you.
What? This is the, what? It's not your anniversary. You already had your anniversary. It's like the entire year your anniversary. What's going on here? Call me back. Bye. All right. Now let's try this again. Let's see if it'll pick it up again. Call me maybe. Are you Sacramento? Are you guys there?
Thank gosh. I think we are. Hi.
I left you a voicemail.
We heard your voicemail. We tried calling you and we got your voicemail. And I was like afraid to pick up as you were calling in. I was like, oh, great. Am I going to, like, patch him in so he gets to hear his own voicemail? But thankfully, it worked.
At least my voicemail doesn't say it's the 10th anniversary special.
Oops.
Oops.
I might need to update that.
I think you do, because it's all about, we're taking voicemail for the, you'll hear it on the podcast. I left you a voicemail.
It's technically been 10 years, and we always think each show's special, so it still applies.
Every episode feels like 10 years.
You're listening to the all-new Orange Lounge Radio.
10 years old.
That's right.
So are you going to pick up Forza Horizon, Rob, now that we've tried to sell you on it?
I'm going to pick up the demo. It's in my queue right now on Xbox, so I will check it out and see if I can actually control the cars this time.
I kind of feel obligated that I should purchase it since I have... And I don't even remember when I got it, but I have an Xbox 360 racing wheel with, like, the fancy wheel and pedals and everything, but I have yet to play a game with it.
Well, this might be a good chance, huh?
And we have the VOG Car Club, and so you can make a Minecraft car and race with us.
I'm sure my husband will play. I won't, because, seriously, those games make me sick.
You're already sick.
It's because I've been hanging out with you guys.
Speaking of hanging out, Dark Soccer and I, before you called, were talking about movies because, it's a big video game movie season, apparently.
Yep.
We had the Resident Evil movie not that long ago, which are on, the 17th Resident Evil movie? And then Silent Hill 3D Revelation.
I have to see this train wreck.
Apparently, it's, so bad. It's like Showgirls bad. Apparently.
We have to go.
Which makes me excited because I love John Waters movies that are so bad they're good. So if Silent Hill is really that bad, I am so on board.
I was told that it was a gift. You remember my friend Kristen, one of the giggling lesbians on Orange Lounge Radio?
Of course.
She called it a gift.
A gift?
A gift.
I'm making a gift. also, we have, of course, Wreck-It Ralph coming out this weekend. were just
want to see that.
Trying to maybe plot a OLR trip out to see Wreck-It Ralph, because you know we here at Orange Lounge Studios, we love two things: video games and Disney.
Yeah, I really want to see it too. I've got so much stuff going on that weekend. I don't know when I'm going to be able to see it.
Yeah, that's your week when you're on a priorly recorded show. So.
All week. Well, I've got things like all weekend. Like I'm leaving Saturday. I'm out of town, and then Sunday I got something else. But I'll still have a big show. Do you guys have anything going on that night?
Actually, yes, we have an interview coming up. We haven't announced who yet, but we're going to announce that tonight on our show. I will say this much. It's definitely for the old – it's not somebody everybody's going to know, mm-hmm. but this is definitely for the old school crowd. Like if you were listening to Orange Lounge Radio back when it was about music-based games and all that, I think you're going to get a kick out of who we've got. I'll say right now it's not a Bomani musician. It's not Konami person, mm-hmm. but it's somebody big from the community that surprisingly hasn't been on the show in 10 years.
Like Konami would come on, especially with me being here.
I know, right? But – I think for the old school fans especially, it's going to be a great interview. And we're trying to book some more for November. So trying to live up to the shadow that the Bobby Black
will create
for us.
I'm still in your shadow. I'm still the opening band. Don't worry about it.
No, now we are the follow up show to you. We're the please stay tuned for Orange Lounge Radio.
I found Kristen's review of Silent Hill.
Okay.
I don't care if it's spoilery. I'm going to say it anyway.
No, don't spoil anything though.
No, it's funny.
Bleep that part out.
Okay, Bleep is a love interest. Pyramid Head is a good guy. Vincent is Bleep's something. There's a Pokemon battle at the end. The characters are changing from one character into the other, and they're nodding to Origins, Homecoming, and Downpour. The movie was a blank gift to the horrible movies. A gift.
So it sounds like they just took the story of Silent Hill 3 and just tied it in a knot. And
Megzi's description? Huh. I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Amazing.
That sounds like a keeper. I'll miss that one. I'll go spend my money on Wreck-It Ralph instead.
Yeah, I will try to see both. And even though it has nothing to do with video games, I do kind of want to see Cloud Atlas.
I just finished. Yeah. I was going to read the book,
uh-huh.
and none of the bookstores have it. So I read Number 9 Dream, which is another book that the guy wrote.
Mm.
And his writing style is so amazing.
I heard that the book is so convoluted and complicated that only 60% of it made the movie. But that's like any movie, really.
His style of writing, I could see would be super hard to put into a movie, especially since Cloud Atlas is supposed to have that same sort of surrealist view that Number 9 Dream did. Number 9 Dream was a really good book, but it's on the cerebral edge, so.
Ooh, and Dungeon Buster in the chat room. Can't wait for Skyfall. Yeah, I'm so on board with the new Bond movie as well. As much on board with the new Bond video game, just saying.
Yeah.
Skyfalling, the Chicken Little sequel.
Stop.
Yeah, and the thing about Cloud Atlas that I thought was funny, it's a 3-hour movie, and they're like, yeah, the only way we can explain what this movie is a 5-minute trailer, so here it is. Like, that was the shortest trailer they could do that would actually explain the movie.
The book itself is supposed to be two different stories that converge in one point, but each story is written differently. Mm-hmm. But they intertwine.
This is too complicated for a video game show.
I really want to read the book.
You are explaining the plot of Final Fantasy VIII right now. This is too complicated.
Well, I just have to say David Mitchell's writing is really amazing. I was really pleased that I read Number 9 Dream. So, just saying.
So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Hey, I am really surprised you resisted the temptation to talk about what's going on at G4. But we got to talk about G4 and the updates that are going on there. Even though I say the party ended 5 years ago, for many people, the party is ending very soon. We're going to talk about that. We want to talk about, we like music games and Dance Dance Revolution making a comeback, a reboot or a reimagining. We're going to talk about that as well. And leave it to the homebrew community to put something together that Nintendo should have done in the first place. Co-op comes to Super Mario Bros. 64. Yes, you heard me. Co-op in Mario 64.
Wow. Yeah, and the thing about G4, Forza Horizon impressed me more this week. and if people are wondering why he's saying that, just I'll tease this because I am going to be doing something about it, and I'm going to say something. I used to work with G4 for like 2 years when it started. So I was right in the thick of G4. From 2001, which is, you know, before it, or actually 2002, about 6 months before it went on the air until about a couple months after the Tech TV merger. And I was in the thick of it. I was actually on the majority of the shows of G4 at some point, either through my writing or I was actually on video a couple times. So I was very, very entrenched with G4 for several years. And so and now because they're finally canceling their last two video gaming shows, that's why Rob's saying that he's surprised I didn't say anything. But it's because I want to say more than I can I want to actually prepare it out, and it'll probably be a feature on the site because I actually have a lot of merchandise and stuff from G4, some freebies and stuff. Looking back at 10 years ago when I was really a big part of that community and helping them out.
It's like November is going to be sweeps month at VOG. Mm-hmm. A lot of big stuff coming in up in November. And I'll tease this as well since it's VOG related. Crossover shows for the Warcraft shows this week.
Oh, wow.
We went on Girls Gone WoW, and Girls Gone WoW is coming on our show, Horde House. So crossover week this week. Sweeps month,
November. Need to get the hits up. We actually do need to get the hits up. So tell your friends.
We are pulling up all the stunts. And at the end of the month, we will be killing off a host. So stay tuned.
By the way, when are they going to announce like who was nominated for those other...
the Podcast Awards?
Podcast Awards and the other...
Funny you should mention... Oh, we didn't get nominated for the Stitcher Awards. But
Nobody did.
The Podcast Awards, I believe, are tonight, actually. I think they're going on tonight while our show's live.
Cool.
So we'll find out that more CorpCast got nominated.
By the way, if I can go back to mention another movie.
Yeah, but let Bobby end the show at some point.
Everyone go see Frank and Weenie. It was cute.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Everybody go see Frank and Weenie. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, as always, Bobby. Sorry we went long.
It's okay. It's your show that gets delayed every time you go long on mine. That's it for me. I will be back live in 2 weeks, but there will still be a show with interviews about games like Hotline Miami, Fallen Enchantress, and MechWarrior Online. That will all be next Sunday night, next week. It will be premiering on VOG next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on VOGNetwork.com, or I will be live in 2 weeks at that time. Catch us live, interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail or a bumper on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1 or email me an MP3 to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. This show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But I could not make the live show work without the help of the chatters, so thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Hecht, Misty, Ranma, VXJSNXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Shadow Next Gen, Loki, Angel, Buchikawa, Breakman, Broken Sidewalk, Burr, Cidabria, Critical Myth, D5T, Dave8520, DeBlueGuy, Degenerate Johnny, GJ Morpheus, Dungeon Buster, Havoc978, Immortal King, Matt Q, Melted General, Monster B, MXT, Raginator, Rob Roberts, Scample, or S. Campbell, Shanalinko, SSJ100 Matt, Tiger Claw, Toagak, True, Vandy, What Up G, Zappy, and Zeba. So that's it. I am out of here. I will see you guys live in 2 weeks, but next week, it's good. There's a lot of good stuff next week. You don't want to miss it. I've already heard the show. It's great. You're going to want to hear it, too. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.